11 days away from the college football playoffs in the semifinals. Alabama versus Oklahoma, the Orange Bowl in Miami, Clemson versus Notre Dame at the Cotton Bowl in Arlington, Texas. And, of course, we are now just a little over a week away, a week from tomorrow, because Christmas is a week away. And a week from tomorrow, you'll have Georgia Tech at the Quick Lane Bowl, final game for Paul Johnson. And then Georgia gets ready to take on Texas. Question is, will Justin Fields be with the Georgia Dogs and suited up for that game in New Orleans? The College Football Notebook, sponsored by Dixie Vodka. A true Southern tailgate not complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America, and by God, raised in the South. All right, so John Chuckery in for Hugh Douglas today. Justin Fields, let's start here. I mean, do you put – how much – what do you say the odds of him transferring are? Dan Wolkin breaks the story at 8 o'clock last night. There's some maybe nots going on after that. Do you think that Justin Fields is, in fact, 100% transferring?
95. I'll put it at 95%. I would be more – I would be drastically more surprised if he's back next year than if he – had Jake Fromm not taken the big leap forward that he did this year, be one thing. But you look at where Georgia is and what Georgia's going to be next year and what Jake Fromm is, it makes sense for Justin Fields to transfer out of there. I get it. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I know – we talk about competition and things like that. Jake Fromm's not getting benched to start next year. He's been too good for this program. He's the leader of that team. They're going to be second or third in the country going into next year, with or without Justin Fields.
Well, there have been a lot of rumors that are flying around right now. One of them is that Justin Fields is just contemplating transferring, that he'll actually go to the Sugar Bowl, play in the Sugar Bowl, and then make his decision after the Sugar Bowl game. You know, what's that? Are you going down to New Orleans wondering if Jake Fromm's going to get hurt and then you get to get the opportunity to start next year? I mean, what's the point of that? You're either going to be in or out. Remember, National Signing Day, day after tomorrow.
And if that's the case.
Actually, I checked that. National Signing Day is tomorrow, right?
I believe. Isn't it the 20th?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Is today the 19th or?
Today's the 18th.
18th, yeah.
Tomorrow.
19th, yes.
Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. What I was going to say is, if you're the coaching staff, they have to have an idea, right? Like, how do you take Justin Fields down to Georgia, or I should say down the Sugar Bowl, if in limbo? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you know how to play him? What do you do? You can't tell me it's just business as usual if he's telling you he's going to transfer, but he's going to go after the Sugar Bowl. I find that a very strange situation.
Because right now you have Jake Fromm and you have Matthew Downing, and then they have a four-star coming in named John Reese Plumlee out of Mississippi. He's a big, tall, lanky dual-threat quarterback, ranked as the seventh best dual-threat quarterback in the nation. Put up huge numbers in high school in Mississippi, but at this point, the last I read, Plumlee said that they hadn't exactly offered him a scholarship. They wanted him to pay his own way for a little while. It's called blue-shirting, and then pick up a scholarship in the fall. And he's like, I don't know that I want to do that. And so other schools have been knocking on their door, so we'll see what happens with that. As to Fields, the paper in Toledo is saying that he could go to Ohio State this morning. They're saying that Ryan Day could have snagged him. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Justin Fields a commit to Penn State before reneging on James Franklin?
That I don't know. I know he took visits down to Florida. Remember, there was a lot of talk about him potentially going to Florida.
I thought he committed to Penn State.
Maybe he did.
And he did. Arthur says he did. He committed to Penn State and then withdrew his commitment and went to Georgia.
Stayed home.
Yeah, and stayed home.
I personally think, and I know you and I talked a little bit about this one time on Twitter, I'm still of the belief kids like that, usually when they start transferring, want to stay closer to home, just from the standpoint of staying in the South or something like that. I mean, you saw even Kelly Bryant went to Missouri. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea of him going like out west or up north, I'd be more surprised if he did that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ohio State makes sense because it's Ohio State and Dwayne Haskins are going the draft and all this. And people say, well, they need a quarterback. Well, they got Tate Martell. But, I mean, I get why people would say that.
Well, you have a lot of options around here. I mean, a lot of teams need quarterbacks. Florida State needs a quarterback. Auburn, Georgia Tech needs a quarterback. If you want your parents to come watch you, well, you live in Kennesaw. I mean, how much closer can you get than Georgia Tech?
Like, when do you think Gus Malzahn would back up the Brinks truck to bring him in?
Yeah, I think he would do. I mean, if that's the way you want to put it, yes. But yes, I think he would do whatever he would take.
You mean That would be shady? Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just saying that, I mean, I think it, just about anybody. I think Tennessee, I think, you know, you'd see,
yeah,
you know, yeah. I mean, LSU. I mean, anybody, there aren't five teams that wouldn't want Justin Fields right now.
I think it's about three. I mean, outside of Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia, who else is so set at quarterback in the country? I mean, I guess Missouri because they brought Kelly Bryant in, but how do you turn down a Justin Fields?
If you look at the Big Ten, right, Michigan needs a quarterback. Who doesn't need a quarterback? Nebraska doesn't need a quarterback. They're about it, right? I mean, that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you the entire Big Ten, except for Nebraska, you know, most of the SEC, you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, everybody needs quarterbacks, and especially this kid.
Maybe Southern Cal. I mean, Daniels is obviously a fresh JT Daniels.
Right, you know,
freshman out there. That's about it.
You know, and especially this kid, because that's what we're asking on our Twitter this morning at 929 The Game. We're also talking to you on Facebook. Justin Fields transfers. How big a loss is it for Georgia football? You're saying huge, Heisman-caliber loss. Tough, but we have Fromm, or it's not, bye-bye. 52% are responding so far saying it's tough, but we have Fromm. By the way, when you go vote, we encourage you to go ahead and jump into the comment section and leave a comment to tell us how you feel, because that's how we interact on the show, is through our daily polls. I think this is a huge loss in the sense that he is a special player. I think Jake Fromm's going to play in the NFL. I think Jake Fromm is an exceptional quarterback in college. And I think he's got to learn to win the big game. But I think outside of that, which is a little unfair because the big game has been Alabama twice, I think Jake Fromm's going to be a good player. I think Justin Fields has the potential, John, to be a very special player. I mean, a big-time star.
There's no question. You don't get to be five-star number one recruit in the country without the ability to play. We just didn't see enough of it. And he's in a different situation than most programs. I don't think most people thought Jake Fromm would take the step forward that he did this year. I mean, Jake Fromm took a really big step forward as a leader, as a football player, and he only looks like he's getting better. Remember all the talk after the LSU game? Oh, it's time to bench Jake Fromm. Then he comes out, you know, a couple weeks later and drills Florida. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Wendy. You know, but I mean, Jake Fromm outside of the LSU game was Jake Fromm was terrific against Alabama.
Yeah, I don't know that I put the LSU game on him. I think they just abandoned the run too early and probably shouldn't have done that. They learned their lesson.
No, I mean, he didn't play well either, though.
I agree.
But my point is well. That
because they abandoned the run, and LSU sat back and played pass defense.
The when you get pressure on Jake Fromm and sack him, that's when Georgia's been in trouble. I mean, LSU, Auburn, Alabama, that's when they've gotten in trouble, is when you can get to Jake Fromm and put pressure on him, like most quarterbacks. I mean, that's not unique to Jake Fromm, but that seems to be kind of the formula.
Talking about Justin Fields and the breaking news, you should know that at 9:20 this morning, and I know that's a ways away on the show, but at 9:20 this morning, the man who broke the story last night, Dan Wolkin of USA Today, will join us live, and we'll get kind of the insight on how he got that information about Justin Fields and broke it last night, just before 8 o'clock last night when we got word that Justin Fields was transferring. I still think this is a huge loss. I understand that kids don't want to wait, and Justin Fields is probably impatient about starting his career. I mean, in theory, Justin Fields, you know, he's got this redshirt year this year because he's, you know, because of the new rules. He could play four more years, which means he could be the starter for two full years at Georgia if he were willing.
He played more than four games this year.
No, but he's got a redshirt left, right?
Oh, yes.
Because he was a true freshman.
Yes.
So he could redshirt next year, let this Plumlee guy come in and be the guy, and then he could have actually, you know, two full years as the quarterback at Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay. So he could have two full years as the quarterback at Georgia, but he doesn't want to wait that long.
Right.
Because he's thinking he's starting to think about 2021 draft.
Right. If he was going to redshirt, you'd have done it this year, team.
If he can get a waiver, he could play for 2 years, and be in the 2021 draft in two mm-hmm. years, not have to wait 2022. So I think he's thinking about – I think he's going 2021 draft, but if he stays at Georgia and Fromm is going to be the guy, he ain't going to get to the 2021 draft. It'll have to be at least 2022.
Right.
And so it's like, I'm not waiting that extra year to get into the NFL draft. I want to go as soon as I can, which is 2021. Therefore, I've got to be able to be on the field, show what I can do, and earn that stripes and be in that 2021 draft. So, which I totally get. You know, you're calculating. I mean, if you're using this, you're calculating. So the only question is, where's he going to go? Because he's going to be a big star wherever he goes.
Well, he becomes the hottest free agent on the market if he is transferring.
Maybe the hottest free agent quarterback. Has there ever been a quarterback that was a five-star stud like this? I mean,
no, but Russell Wilson was a big deal.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson was a winner.
A big deal. Yes, he was a big deal. Correct. But he was a one and done, too. I mean, Wisconsin knew they were getting him for a year.
Right.
And he did a great job, by the way.
Yeah, he took him to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job.
Yeah.
obviously tremendous quarterback, but with this much time left, I mean, in his window?
I think a lot of people thought Jarrett Stidham was going to be a bigger deal than what it turned out to be, because you had multiple years, and Stidham was a five-star quarterback who showed signs at Baylor he could play. I think a lot of people thought Stidham was going to be a guy who would be a huge impact player, especially, you know, going to Auburn.
That, and I think it's fair to say that he was good, but he wasn't great.
No, he was very average, very mediocre.
But I don't believe that for a second with Justin Fields. I think he's a different kind of guy. I think he's Cam Newton.
Well, we will see.
It's to be proven. We should say so. We'll continue to follow this story. Dan Wolcom will join us at 9:20 this morning, but it's not the only college football news. We don't want to get entirely wrapped up in the debate about Justin Fields and where he might end up and what Georgia's going to do with signing day coming up tomorrow. Jeff Collins, the new head coach at Georgia Tech, has said goodbye to all of his coaches after the bowl game. He is going to have an entirely new staff. Don't blame him. Going to bring his own people in, run his own offense, run his own defense, and that's entirely fine by me. I was really, John, I know you had a chance to listen to the interview when he was on with you and I was thoroughly impressed with him.
Oh, I think it's a great hire for Georgia Tech. A guy that's got roots here at this program, a guy who's a more modern type of offense. We know that he can recruit. I think it's a great hire for Georgia Tech, and he's going to be a breath of fresh air for that program. There's no question about that.
Mel Tucker taking a couple of Georgia coaches. So not only is Justin Fields going to be leaving, but a couple of coaches are going to go with Mel Tucker to Colorado. Jay Johnson is going to go with him and be his offensive coordinator, and Tyson Summers will be his defensive coordinator. So they're leaving the Georgia staff. And that's actually a pretty good thing, because if you start to look around, when you are that kind of a caliber of program, you are – the Brent Venables who stay with you forever because they don't want to be head coach and they're happy where they are and making $1 million a year.
And keep getting raises.
And keep getting raises.
Yeah, you're the highest paid coordinator in the country.
And he got no pressure of being a head coach. That's a fairly rare thing in this day and age.
Well, think about how long Kirby stayed at Alabama.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is Nick Saban. These guys elevate and they go on. Elevate and go on. I mean, we've had how many head coaches come out of the Nick Saban coaching tree at Alabama? Five, six, seven?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of head coaches that are in the in college football. It's not just Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt.
No, it's Mark D'Antonio. It's Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal.
Good, aren't they? Yeah,
It goes on and on and on. I mean, there's a lot that have come out of there. So
Jim McElwain.
Yeah, Jim McElwain,
who humped a shark.
And Jim McElwain is where? Central Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chippewas.
Yeah. Chippewas.
And he did hump that shark, by the way.
Okay. That's not him, but that's okay.
No, it was.
I do want to ask you this question, because Arthur opposed this yesterday. Which team upgraded at head coach the most? And he just has a list of a few. And McElwain's on this list. Tech with Jeff Collins, you get to pick one, okay?
Yep.
Kansas, Les Miles. North Carolina, Mack Brown. It's not an upgrade. Hint. Central Michigan, Jim McElwain. Liberty, Hugh Freeze. Louisville, Scott Satterfield. Colorado, Mel Tucker. Maryland, Mike Locksley. And Ohio State, Ryan Day.
Les Miles at Kansas. You know, he already brought in the, did you see where he got the number one JUCO player in the country to transfer and come in and play quarterback for him already? Given what Kansas football is, that's the best upgrade, because that gives them national exposure. If nothing else, Les Miles creates national exposure for Kansas.
It might be Hugh Freeze at Liberty. I mean, with his style.
Well, he said
his...
nobody could handle his junk the way that Liberty could. So, just saying, Arthur.
Well, it's true.
That's what he said. I didn't say it. He said it. He
Look,
said it.
Just because the sun came up doesn't mean that you keep being silly.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, I think Liberty has a policy against cell phones. But
Well, think about it. Pat Forty called that the what is that? That's like the rehab center, because you know the AD is Baylor's old AD, and now you got Hugh Freeze there, so it's like that's like the rehab center for troubled souls.
Isn't Ken Starr over there as well?
No, he was at Baylor.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't Ken Starr at Liberty now?
No, I don't think
so. I don't think Ken Starr is anywhere, is he?
I don't think he's anywhere.
I think Ken Starr is in an apartment under a blanket with the lights out so nobody sees him. I mean.
I think there's also an upgrade at Louisville. I think Scott Satterfield will do really well.
Oh, I do too. I think that's a terrific hire. You saw how quickly Louisville tried to snatch him up. I think, well, obviously we know who their number one choice was.
Yeah, well, but of course Jeff Brohm turned him down
to
stay at Purdue. And I can't blame Jeff Brohm. I mean, you're walking into a firestorm a little bit, and it's your old school. Besides, no offense to Jeff Brohm, he goes to Louisville, he kind of gets stuck a little bit because it's hard for him to extract himself. I think Jeff Brohm is thinking NFL.
Well, he could be, but he's big difference between it being in Wisconsin's division and being in Clemson's division.
Yeah, a little. I mean,
a little.
Well,
that program ain't going nowhere over there in Clemson.
Yeah, I know. Purdue's kind of a tough sell at times. I mean, West Lafayette's a little bit of a tough sell. It doesn't have the facilities that
Louisville has. No, but he's got a better chance to win in that division than he does in the ACC.
Yeah, I know, but Atlantic. I guess I was just thinking next, you know, two steps ahead if you're playing like, you know, checkers here, because he goes to Louisville, and if he wants to leave to take a job at Clemson, or he wants to take a job at, you know, USC, or if he wants to go to the NFL, it becomes a little bit more difficult because you're leaving your home, you know, and people are like, hey, you can't leave, you know, I mean, you're our guy, you know, you're born and raised, you play quarterback, you're our guy. Whereas if he stays at Purdue, he can go wherever he wants. And people go, hey, thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, and some guys just don't want to go home. There is always that factor. Some guys just realize going home, and it is a crap storm at Louisville.
It is
not just their football program, their athletic department as a whole is a crap storm.
I mean, there are a couple of athletic, Illinois, same way.
Oh, yeah. Illinois. But they love Lovey, though.
Well, I think keeping Lovey was a good move.
Oh, I do, too. They were a better team this year.
And besides, I think right now what Illinois needs to do is just settle that whole program down.
Yeah.
I mean, right now they're in basketball and football and all of the things.
I think there's a lot of those programs like that.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, though Michigan State hasn't paid any penalty, apparently. Apparently not. And Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antoni just keep rolling along.
Oh, they just keep replacing
Larry
presidents.
Larry Nassar, that didn't even happen.
They just keep replacing presidents so they get the right one, right?
It is a college football kind of week, yeah, because National Signing Day is tomorrow. It's not officially National Signing Day. It's officially early National Signing Day, but we all know what that means now. And we'll continue to follow the very latest developments out of Athens on Justin Fields. Coming up next, Travis Schlenk, talking about the Atlanta Hawks, talking about the NBA, what he has to say about what's going on in the league and in the association.
92.9 The Game, now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One more time.
It is the morning show with John, and today John Chuckery filling in for Hughes, taking a couple of days off. He'll be back on Friday. Hawks tonight at home against the Washington Wizards. Pregame with Andy Bunker at 7. The real voice of the Hawks, Steve Holman, calls the game beginning at 7:30 tonight. Tickets available at Hawks.com. Get you down to State Farm Arena and check it out if you haven't had a chance to check out State Farm Arena. See this young basketball team as it continues to try to put it together and grow in the right direction. And I have no doubt that with the people in place that they will. It's just a growing process. The general manager of the Atlanta Hawks is Travis Schlenk. He joins us this morning. Talk a little bit about the ball club. Morning to you, Travis.
Morning, gentlemen.
Well, Travis, you know, I'll fill in because Hugh is not here today. John Chuckery is, so I'll ask you the Hugh question to begin with. What was your week like when you were on the road?
I'm actually standing in the airport right now getting ready to board a flight back to Atlanta. I'm here in Nashville today. Busy week this week. We have a home game tonight, as you just mentioned, versus Washington. Tomorrow I'll be over in South Carolina for UVA South Carolina game. Thursday, be up in New York City for Texas Tech Duke, and then we play the next Friday night. And Saturday, I head over to Chicago for a doubleheader up there at the United Center. So, busy week this week.
Well, man, you think you got busy weeks. Do you get Christmas Day off or no?
There's 5 games on that day, so I probably have one of them to watch.
Yeah, that's kind of the unofficial start to the NBA, right? A lot of people talk about Christmas Day being the kickoff. Travis, I'm curious, as we're moving, this will be game 30 against the Wizards, and as we move into the season, when you're a team that's built around so many very young players, including several rookies on this team, how much do you and Coach Pierce get together and start talking about minutes and games and things like that as you get into deeper into the season, and especially for guys that have never played maybe this many minutes, this many games, and the workload of NBA players?
Well, you know, there's a couple different sides of it, right? So there's the number of minutes so that we can keep them healthy to avoid injury. And, you know, we track all the loads of all our guys, the young guys, the older guys. Obviously, the older guys, we want to make sure that, you know, we're keeping them fresh. But the young guys, too, you know, you hear about the rookie wall, you know, 30 games in. This is a college season that these young guys have played, you know, in the span of 2 months, 3 months. So, you know, we monitor that. And then there's just, you know, the 4 games in 7 days aspect of it all, where we just try to keep their minds fresh as well, you know, from a mental fatigue, not a physical fatigue. And just, you know, trying, as you know, as you stated, you know, our young guys are all getting minutes. So, you know, we're not having to argue to get this guy on the floor to get him experience. Our guys are getting that experience. It's really about trying to keep him mentally and physically fresh.
Talking with Travis Lang, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Defense, is defense a case of want to, or are we just to expect because of the fact that, you know, the way that Lloyd Pierce wants to play, which is this up-tempo style, that with a young team you're going to have turnovers and you're going to have some defensive issues, and we just have to kind of accept that for now?
Well, I wouldn't say that accept it's the right word, but it's certainly going to be part of the process. You know, we've got new guys learning a new system. We've got young guys learning a new system. And we're playing at a really high pace, so there's going to be a lot of scoring. You know, there's going to be more turnovers. There's more opportunities for them. But, listen, the turnovers, we're on them every day about, you know, the defensive effort and technique we're on it and just learning situations. I mean, you'll see examples of situations that, you know, veteran teams will make an easy read, an easy switch, and our young guys are trying to learn that on the fly.
Travis, this team has played the third most road games in the Eastern Conference, and that seems to be where the real struggles have come at 2-14 on the road. How much of that is just young guys getting adjusted to the league, or is there something about being on the road that this team is having trouble with?
Well, it's certainly, you know, it's no secret that going on the road is harder than playing at home. You know, you have the comfort of, you know, your daily routines, and a lot of these guys have never been in, you know, these cities and getting their routines down, and, you know, obviously, you know, the hostile environments, and it's when you start winning on the road, that's when you know that you're a good team.
Well, certainly, you know, the road has been tough for them, and it's not going to be easy because your schedule's backloaded with a lot of home games the second half of the season in and around the All-Star game to the end of the year, and a lot of road games on the front end. I mean, just almost unfair in terms of the number of road games that you get till, let's say, maybe mid-February. But that's, you just got to deal with the schedule as it is.
Yeah, we got to play 41 on the road and 41 at home. You know, it's nice. It would be nice with a young team to get some confidence and get some, you know, road or home wins early, but, you know, we're going to play them as they come, and we're going to give it our best shot every night.
Yeah, well, of course it is. Travis Lang, general manager of the Hawks.
Travis, as you just mentioned about your college season in, basically, what would you say has been the biggest area of improvement out of your young guys kind of collectively as a whole since you first saw them in camps?
You know, collectively, I would just think that they're getting more comfortable. You know, obviously, Trey and Kevin are both starting now and, you know, trying to start to build some chemistry with those two guys. You know, Kevin's improvement, you know, on the defensive end from the start of camp to now has really, really been good. Real pleased with that. You know, we're on him to be more aggressive and more assertive. And with Trey, it's kind of the opposite. We're on him, you know, to trust his teammates. You know, he's been in a situation all the way through high school and college where, you know, he had to carry the whole load, and now he doesn't have to. You know, give the ball up, let it come back to you, and then make a play. So, you know, different kind of guys. And Amari's kind of been slowed here recently with the hip issue. You know, hopefully we'll get him back out there in the next week or so. And, you know, John, kind of the fourth 20-year-old of the group, you know, he's just playing at a really high level. You know, as Lloyd said, you don't even call plays for him. He's just so efficient in the lane. So it's just trying to get, you know, hopefully those four young guys out there mixed with their veterans and, you know, getting more chemistry and getting used to playing with one another.
Well, you know, we certainly look forward to that, you know, the growth of this team. And that's what we want to see. You know, we want to just see the team grow and continue to get better. And I know that, you know, you guys are working towards that. And like I've always said, Travis, I think, you know, the interesting thing to me, a game like tonight where you can go to Hawks.com and get tickets, you want to be Hawks cool before the Hawks are cool. And at some point in the not-too-distant future, the Hawks are going to be cool.
Yeah, no, listen, you know, we're going to add a couple number of young, good pieces this June in the draft. And then we're going to have some cap flexibility and, you know, sprinkle in some, you know, more solid veterans. And, you know, we'll be on our way, hopefully.
Well, have a safe flight, you know, and I know that your travel schedule is something fierce.
Like I said,
do you get paid by the mile, Travis?
Yeah, I don't know what your frequent flight. Does the wife ever say, "Hey, listen, when the season's over, honey, let's take a trip"?
You know, we take a vacation every summer.
You're driving though, right?
No, we're flying.
Oh yeah, well,
airlines take good care of me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
first class at a million miles. I think so. Thanks, Travis. Do appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Travis Lang, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks again. Hawks in Washington tonight. Just looking at the schedule.
Are they about where you thought they'd be?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I guess I had hoped, John, honestly, that there'd be a little bit more development under Lloyd Pierce, but you know, I'm just going to think he's learning too. Yeah, I understand.
I worked for a long time. Daryl was one of our producers on the nightcap with Sam and John, working with Sam Mitchell. And he always talked about when you slide over that 18 inches into that other chair, your life completely changes. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to be that assistant, it's another thing to be that head coach. And so while the players and everything have their adjustment, yeah, I know Lloyd's been in the league. I know Coach Pierce has been in the league for a bunch of years and stuff like that. But when you take over now as the head coach and things like that, there's a lot he's got to learn at the same time. So it's kind of a perfect kind of pot of everything kind of mixed all together in one batch that everybody's kind of having to figure out what seasonings you need to make the stew taste good.
Yeah, well, and as I mentioned, their schedule is weird. I mean, they just come off the road where they play three road games. And between now and February the 4th, they play like 19 road games and like six home games. I mean, and then they flip it around and play like 18 home games and six road games. But until they have one stretch from January 23rd to February 4th where they go on a seven-game road trip. Seven games in a row. Chicago, Portland, Clippers, Sacramento, Utah, Phoenix, Washington.
Yeah, but that's that West Coast swing, though. Once you get out there, you're always going to have that big swing out there. So that's not surprising.
I mean, this is a team that – you know, I'm looking forward to next year. I mean, already, kind of, because I'm anxious. Because I really believe strongly that the Hawks finally have an owner in Tony Ressler who's going to do this right. He and Jamie Gertz, his wife. And I believe that they have the right guy at general manager. I have a lot of faith in Travis Schlenk. Mm-hmm. And I want to believe that if I have that belief in Travis Schlenk, that he's got the right head coach in Lloyd Pierce. And it's just a matter of, you know, you get into the draft. Hopefully you can get the number one or number two pick. And between Barrett and Zion Williamson, you make the right pick, and hopefully you get that. And then whatever that Dallas pick turns out to be, you make the right pick there, you know, and you've got two second-rounders, and maybe you try and trade up a little bit, or whatever you do, you make the right pick. And we have two more new starters next year to go with the three kind of, you know, pieces that you have. Maybe you go out and get another free agent. And then the year after is when you can really make a big splash in free agency. And so year three of Lloyd Pierce, I would hope that they're a playoff team.
Well, if that's the case, you have to have Trae Young be a home run. You have to have this year's draft pick, your first pick, be a home run. You got to start hitting some home runs. You can't hit singles and doubles on these picks. You got to swing for the fence and you got to hit some home runs, because you're not going to turn the franchise around until you've got some, you know, first team NBA type of caliber players.
Well, since Hugh isn't here today, and his world is sleeping in and taking a day off, which is much deserved. But since John is, and Chuckery is always bugged about something, we'll let Hugh's world be what's bugging Chuck. We'll do that next on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A Super Bowl is a spectacle like no other.
No one else has the NFL or Super Bowl 53 coverage like us, because we're your home for the NFL in Atlanta. Super Bowl 53 plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
Do I get the mood music and everything? I don't get the mood music.
No unfinished thoughts this morning?
I mean, I don't have any butt mold candy stores, which, Daryl, if it had a pimple on it, does that mean it's cream-filled candy? Or how
you are tripping.
Okay. Sorry. We are not going to have a meeting because of you.
Yes, thank you.
No, I'll be gone. I got news for you. I'll be on the road. So y'all let me know how it works. David Berry Jr., as I have a couple of things to go over with you today, is going to jail for, he's one of four family members, listen to this, that is part of a group that illegally killed hundreds of deer. He pled guilty to killing, possessing of, and disposing of wildlife illegally back on October 11th, where there was like this whole like cult family, I guess, that they would go out and kill deer, cut their heads off for trophies, but then just leave the corpses to rot and all that. So I guess it's illegal to dispose of deer that particular way. But besides the fact
where
that
where was this?
In Missouri. I was trying to see what city. It just says a Missouri judge. Mm. Doesn't have the it's Lawrence County. So wherever whatever Lawrence County is in.
Yeah, this sounded like a Netflix series, but go ahead.
Well, he has been sentenced to 1 year in prison, and while he is there, he must watch Bambi at least once per month, starting on or before December 23rd. So it says here that means Barry will have to experience the emotional scene where Bambi's mother is killed by a hunter. I hope I didn't spoil the movie for anybody. Where Bambi's mother is killed by a hunter at least 12 times over that next year. Now, here's the problem with all this. You know what this guy's going to say, right? I'd have killed her a different way. I'd have chopped her head off a different way. I wouldn't have shot her that far away. I just walked up and, I mean, he'll probably analyze and break down. I mean, they had a whole cult group that was involved in this. This spanned over 3 years. Now, first of all, why did it take so long to figure out, like, these country hillbillies were killing this many hundreds of deer? I don't understand. It says that there were 230 charges against him in 11 different counties in Missouri. So, obviously, they really have their game on in Missouri. They really know how to investigate these things.
Was he the only one to go to jail?
It says that there were four people in all, but I guess, I don't know. It says his conviction is the quote unquote tip of a long list of illegal fish and game activity by him and other members of his family. His sentence finalized one of the state's largest ever poaching investigations. Let's see. He and his father's hunting, fishing, and trapping licenses were revoked for life. Well, there you go. They were already illegally poaching.
Yeah, so, I don't know that that's going to slow anybody down.
Yeah,
he's going to move to Montana and find more deer. I mean,
I got news for you. After a year, he's going back out and doing this.
Oh, yeah,
he knows that, right?
Yeah, of course he is.
I mean, he can watch all the Bambi. All that Bambi thing is going to do is give him more tips and ideas about what
Maybe I can set the forest on fire and chase all the deer out and then just gun them all down as they're running towards me.
Now, Arthur, the other two family members' licenses were not revoked for life, but were suspended for a combined 26 years. And another man who, quote-unquote, took wildlife illegally and assisted the Berries had his hunting privileges taken away for five years.
If he had just, you know, kind of laid on the down low and gotten a hold of me before all this had happened, he would have been welcome to come to my house and use a bow and arrow and take out all the deer in my backyard because I got to get rid of those things.
Now, they also, I know he kept the heads for trophies and stuff. Now, isn't like...
Man, I got so many deer, I don't know what to do with them. I mean, they have deer, 20 of them running loose in my subdivision.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Isn't now in Georgia coyotes and wolves or whatever, isn't it open season? Like, you don't have to.
Oh, no, coyotes are always open season.
Yeah, you can shoot to kill any time on coyotes and wolves, right?
Except, well, yes, but you can't fire a gun in certain areas of, you know, I mean.
Right. But I think it's like open season
to
kill.
There's open season on coyotes. And the coyote, that's the other problem. You know how many coyotes we have? Man, they were
tremendous.
Howling.
Oh, yes.
They were howling behind my house about 3 weeks ago, and we went, oh, there's a kill. I mean, you could hear them howling. I mean, they had a kill.
It is getting bad. You get in a lot of these neighborhoods, especially like in Alpharetta and Milton and stuff, like they've seen those stories where, like, pets are getting eaten and stuff like that.
Yeah, because the coyotes are coming in because there's no deer control, and the population of deer is we got to cull them. There are way too many deer.
Wait a minute, John. Where do you live, in a cave?
No,
he's out in
Islamabad.
He's out there in Ackworth, kind of country area. It's got a lot of woods and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, but you go to Red Top Mountain. I mean, there is a serious overpopulation of deer.
So, congrats to Missouri for after several hundred kills and.
I
promise you that these goobers didn't exactly like cover their tracks really well.
Well, yeah, I'm sure
they ain't exactly the smartest groups in the bunch.
I mean, Animal Kingdom kind of thing. But you know the thing with it isn't that, you know, they were culling the deer. It's that there was the brutal nature of it.
Yeah.
I mean, see, look, venison, for those of you who never had it, is really good.
Yeah. Well, they weren't doing it for food. They were using it for trophies. And very quickly, Noah Kane, who, Arthur, you may know this name because he is in the state of Louisiana. He's one of the nation's top recruiting prospects, John, at running back. When we talk about these recruiting stories and stuff like that, because we do have our first National Signing Day coming up to tomorrow, Noah Kane, this is an article from Max Olson in The Athletic, talks about a situation where Kane, who says, quote, I'm from Baton Rouge, so of course I was supposed to go to LSU. He says, I'm in the High Neighbor grocery store in Baton Rouge with my grandmother this summer, and we're getting some food for dinner. I'll never forget this day. We were going through the aisle, and an LSU fan was shopping and comes up. I don't think he knew me, and he bumped into me like, hey, man, you're going to the boot, right? He says, you're going to the boot, boy, right? I was like, I don't know yet. He was like, what do you mean you don't know? He was looking at me crazy and cross-eyed, and I'm like, look, bro, I'm just here with my grandmother. I respect that. Yeah, man, you know I played ball back in my day. You don't need to go to the boot, though, man. Or he says, you need to go to the boot, though. You're from Baton Rouge. You need to go to the boot. And he's getting all mad at the grocery store on camera and all that. And I was like, brah, look, chill out. And he's like, you're going to LSU, right? And then he puts in all caps, you're going to LSU, right? And I'm like, brah, I don't know yet. I'm taking all my visits. You have a good day. And then the guy left and he said, oh, okay. But look, you're going to LSU, right? So don't be that guy. People get all in their feelings about recruiting and stuff like that. And, you know, nowadays with social media, everybody's a tough guy and you say things. I mean, I guarantee you, Justin Fields does announce, there'll be people on Twitter that will backlash him about, oh, well, you're not honoring your commitment and you're this, that, and the other. Don't be that
guy. Oh, they've already started that.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, they were all mad at Dan, who we're going to talk to at 9:20. They were all mad at him for just tweeting out the story right off his sources and stuff like that. So don't be that guy as it's National Recruiting Day. It's not life or death. I understand in the South, football's not life or death. It's more important than that.
92.9 The Game, of course, you're home for Atlanta football game day coverage. Our coverage this Sunday begins 2 hours before the Bud Light countdown to kick off with the Wade Ford tailgate show. And it starts at 9 a.m. Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons. Jason Butt covering the team for The Athletic. What's the very latest on Devontae Freeman and on the showdown with Carolina on Sunday? We'll get Jason's views next with John and John Chuckery today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.